So I'm thinking that it was a Roman soldier he was looking at with his armor, you know, and this, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, the sword of the Spirit. And so if you ever, so I Googled a picture of a Roman soldier, and you see their belt. It's not like the belt of today, you know, just to hold up our pants. But, I mean, even though you see a lot of people with all that, you know. Yes. You know, that comes, you know, that came to my mind. I'm thinking, you know, these people, even if they have a belt on, some people, it, you know, half their behind is hanging out. You know, so I, you know, and that's, you know, that's a form of rebellion. You know, it's where it started from.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you could say it's just the culture or the times, you know, that kids do that. But, it's, you know, and when you, so I think that, you know, I'm thinking, you know, how is, if you deny the truth, it's a form of rebellion. You know, so, you know, but the thing is, what is truth? You know, how do we, as society, define truth? So, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. You know, so I wrote down, Paul was had a lot of dealings with Roman soldiers. The belt they wore was made of wide, thick leather. And, you know, it wasn't just, I mean, I don't even think they had pants to hold up their little kilt or skirt, whatever they had. But it was actually a form of support. It was something like a weight belt, you know. So I think we need to be, the way that supported them, we need to be supported by the truth of God. You know, and the sword of the Spirit hang from that. Hung from the belt of truth, you know. So we, so the truth is what actually holds everything together. Amen. You can't have the sword of the Spirit without the belt of truth. You can't have the breastplate of righteousness without the belt of truth. You know, truth is what we stand on. It's what, you know. It is. You know, Jesus says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the Old Testament talks about God being the God of truth. You know, so it's no wonder that Jesus would come and proclaim that he is the truth. You know, because he is God. You know, as we believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, if we do not believe that, then we're denying the truth. You know, so we are in a bad place for the devil to come in with his schemes. I mean, Paul talks before he even talks about the armor, he talks about the double schemes. You know, I don't want to get into the sword of the Spirit too much, but I can't help it, because when you talk about truth, you got to talk about the liar. You know, and the devil is a scammer. You know, he says his schemes. So that means he's a scammer. He tries to scam us. You know, so the only way we can, you know if it is a scam, because he's so slick, is to know the truth. You know? So, you know, and that's our weapon. So I wrote a few things down here. I really, to not to get into the sword of the Spirit, because it's so closely, you know, aligned with the belt, I think. You know, because, you know, that is our weapon against. It's the Word of God is our weapon against the lies of the enemy. So without getting into that, I just want to kind of focus on what is truth, you know, because, you know, and it was asked to Jesus in a kind of in a sarcastic way. You know, it's actually John 18:37 through 38. And it says, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. I came into the world to testify to the truth. Anyone side who sides, anyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. Now in the older version of the NIV, it says, you know, what is truth? Asked Pilate. You know, so I kind of looked up retorted, and it's like the way to say it in a rude way, you know, more like a sarcastic way, like, what is truth? You know, he says this and walks away. Jesus never replies to him. You know, you can say maybe he really didn't want to know the truth. You know, so Jesus knew his truth was to do what Caesar wanted him to do what the Roman Empire wanted him to do. I mean, that's one reason why he gave Jesus up. It's not because, I mean, he tried to get, you know, tried to set him free, but it was to please. He didn't care about the truth. He didn't care about right or wrong. He just wanted to care about keeping the order, basically doing what the people wanted, you know. And as we, you know, do we want to keep the peace and deny the truth? You know, that's what the world would want us to do. You know, I mean, Jesus says, I'm not here to unite, I'm here to divide. What? To divide the light from the darkness. You know, to divide the sheep from the goats. You know, Jesus says, you know, my sheep know my voice, and they will not listen to no other. You know, so if you ever, I heard a teaching, I don't even know if it's the truth, but the guy said in it that a shepherd, when he spends a lot of time with the sheep know his voice. And when he calls, the sheep will come. So if I walked up not knowing the sheep and called the sheep, they would not listen to me. Now, I never seen it done, you know, so I can't testify to that to be 100%. It sounds good. You know, I would believe. I know my dog listens to me when I call him.
Something that may not be true.
It may not be true, Pastor. But I just look at my dog. He listens to me. Ain't that right, Raj? My wife got to yell at him a little louder to get him to do something. So, I mean, to take that in consideration. But it's just kind of, it's just, you know, to think that, you know, we don't spend enough time with Christ, you know, If you're not spending your time, man, you're at a disadvantage. You are open for the schemes of the enemy. I mean, to put it plainly. And he's been doing that. You know, the devil's been doing this for a long time. You know, he's smarter than you. If he come against Jesus, he ain't got no problem with us. You know. So I mean, there's lies that he uses for years on us that we still fall for. If we had a bad past, is how can the Lord forgive me? That's always a good one. You know, but Christ says, I mean, you know, I always liked it in Deuteronomy. God said, I curse who I curse and I bless who I bless. You know, whatever, I mean, God said, I mean, it's his sovereignty. You know, are we more moral than God that we can say, you can't forgive me for what I've done? You know, it's, you know, Jesus came for everybody. You wouldn't be here if Jesus didn't care for you, didn't love you. You know, so I don't even know where I am on my notes, because I'm just like way off. So that is, you know, the truth is, you know, what God says it is, not what man says it is. So I don't know if anybody knows. I know I got a lot of young people in here that who Winston Churchill was. You know who he was, Cody? No. A president? No, he wasn't one of our presidents. Well, he was in World War II. He was he was a prime minister, so he was a president of England, you know, and he, they was getting bombed during World War II, and he was a good speaker. I like some of the. Oh, really? All right.
You should try telling the truth more often, yeah. Cody.
You know, but I always liked him because I always took him as a good speaker and a wise man. I mean, from what I know of him anyways. But it says, he states, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves off and hurry off as if nothing ever happened. You know, I mean, that statement to me is like, people don't care about what is true. It's what is best for them. You know, as Christians, it's totally opposite. You know, we know the truth and we're supposed to seek the truth. You know, seek the kingdom of God and true righteousness. You know, and the truth is seems like people just, whatever is good for me is truth. You know, ain't got no problem with throwing the next person under the bus if it's going to benefit you. You know, even Christians do it to each other, sadly enough. You know, and we got to be better than that. You know, so it's because can anybody really know the truth? Or is the truth subject to human interpretation? Many today think truth is relative to the circumstances. That what is true in one situation is not necessarily true for the other. This means the truth for one person is not necessarily the same for another. If this is correct, how can we know with certainty what to believe or how we should live? Well, that's, you know, it's cut. There's a movement or a culture to be relevant. You know, that means that, well, what you believe is truth. And what he believes is true. You know, just because it opposes each other, both of them are true because that's what them people believe. You know, so if that's the world's vision of truth, or because you don't want to offend nobody and be politically correct, then that is just messed up. Because how you could ever say that you're wrong to somebody? You know, because nobody's wrong. You know, that leads into anarchy, you know.
I've told this story before, but I went to pick up the kids one time for the Bible release class. And as I was picking them up, there was a girl, and she was putting up these posters around the school. It was for the diversity class. And they like to tell everybody, they accept everybody, and, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. And so I stepped outside and I says, you know, tell me a little bit about your diversity class. She says, oh, you know, this is to let people know that it doesn't matter what you look like or what you believe. We accept everybody. I said, really? She says, oh, yeah. So, you know, I just kind of played a little bit. I said, well, what if I were to tell you that I belong to the Ku Klux Klan? Would I be accepted? And she goes, oh, no. And I said, well, you just told me you accept everybody. I said, what if I told you I was a skinhead Nazi? And she goes, oh, no, you know. I said, but you see what the point I'm trying to make is, even people that like to be tell you that everything's okay, they have their borders. They have their boundaries. You just got to find out what they are. And you find out that, you know, you watch TV and you see these people that tell you they're tolerant and this and that, and they're usually the ones that are the most intolerant of the other groups. And so we see this type of thing because our society has rejected truth as an absolute. And like you said, Fred, it's all relative. You know, each group has their own truth, and they see things through a certain colored lens. And it will eventually come in conflict with another group. And there will be something there that they don't accept. It's just the way it is. And we as Christians, we admit that. We say, yes, we do discriminate against certain things. We discriminate against evil. We discriminate, you know, all these different things. We just don't accept them. We're called to speak out against certain things and not just to accept them blindly and go on. But it's funny because when you meet somebody and it's on the college campuses and, you know, your professors and all that, and you'll see they're usually the most intolerant. They don't want a certain speaker to come in or somebody to present a certain viewpoint. And they're just as rabid in their zealousness for whatever cause or idea as we should be for the gospel of Christ. And so we have the truth, and the truth always stands, always stands.
Why is it, like Pastor Don just said, that the ones that speak most about tolerance are like college campuses? But where's the most protests against something on a college campus? Figure that one out.
So Pastor said, how do we define truth? You know, well, it's through God. You know, because God's not a man that he should lie, the word says. You know, through the years, I've seen a lot of people lie to me. I lied to a lot of people. You know, I mean, to be honest, you know. And to trust somebody, you know, I had a hard time, you know, I just didn't trust nobody. From childhood, you learned at an early age that a lot of people can't be trusted, so you just didn't trust nobody. You know, I even brought that to my relationship, you know, and that's supposed to be like one of the cornerstones of your relationship, that you be able to trust each other. And so God had to show me, you know, how to kind of trust people or take people at their word, even though I'm still still got that in me. Not 100% trust, but, you know, but you could trust me. No, you had to, you know, the Bible teaches us to be a man of our word, you know, and so let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, you ain't got to, you know, swear by the Holy Father that I'm going to do this. If you have good character and you say, yes, I'm going to do it, that should be enough. You know, and you can't just, the person knows you and you say that, you know, it's an action. You got to continuously show people that you are trustworthy or you are, you know, reliable. You know, working in the kitchen, I have found that some people are not reliable, but some people are faithful when they said they're going to do something. So them two people that I have found out is Chuck. But, that's all in with the truth of God. You know, not just one thing, it's the whole word. It's our whole life has to be built around the truth of God. You know, and it says, truth is the self-expression of God. It is the biblical meaning of truth because the definition of truth flows from God. Truth is theological. Now, when I read that, I'm like, and to be theological is to be a seeker of God, is to study God, the biblical, you know, biblical meaning of God. So when you ever hear theology, something like that, that is the seek man's relationship or God's relationship with man and vice versa. You know, and it is the study of religious faith, the study of God and God's relationship with the world. So it says, truth is reality. Reality is what is because God declared it to be so. It's so, and God declared it to be so. Therefore, God is the author, the source, the terminator, the governor. the arbiter and final judge of all truth. So it's, you know, truth. Man, that's my last page. But so I mean, it's the truth of what, you know. Ronald Reagan said one time, do you know who Ronald Reagan was, yeah. Cody? All right. Cody didn't know this was going to be a history lesson. Yeah. But, President Reagan, which was, you know, a president back in the 80s, that he actually was a good conservative president. You know, some people, you know, just, you know, think he's one of the greatest presidents. You know, that depends what side of the aisle you fall on to believe that, you know. But it's one of his quotes, and from reading this, I would think he was a good guy, you know, because you don't hear this today. You know, it says, America yearns to explore life's deepest truth within the cover of one single book, the Bible. All the answers to all the problems we face today are in there. If we would only read and believe. And it says, he goes on to say, you know, that there is a divine plan for all of us. You know, so I mean, I remember Ronald Reagan. I don't ever remember him saying this because, you know, I was doing my own thing. You know, wasn't worried about who the president was at that day. Yeah. Yeah, I was still young, Bob. You was old. But and that's a true statement. You know, all our answers are in there. You know, in the word of truth, you know. And if we don't read and believe, and that's on us. That's our own fault. You can't blame nobody else. You know, you're going to keep on coming to the pastor with the same problem. You know, and he's going to tell you the same thing. And you're going to not do it. And then you're going to just come back to the pastor again. Then you wonder why he's going to hit ignore on the phone when you come out of jail. Pastor, don't do that. I know. No, but that got to be frustrating to the pastors, you know, that you come with the same problem for years, you know, because you're not listening to the truth. You're not doing what you need to do, you know. Oh, my wife wants to say something.
Now we're going to get to the truth.
This weekend was the women's advance, and I really liked it because, you know, we all know this, that if we don't stay within the body, within our body here, you know, because this is our home, all of us here who are here is our home. If we don't stay here and get built up by those that know the truth and how to, like Pastor Don, where, you know, of course, he's a theologian of the Bible or whatever. But we come in here not knowing nothing. We come in here not knowing nothing about the truth. So if we keep bouncing around with our own mind, and like Fred just said, if we keep going over the same thing over, and Pastor Don keeps telling you, and Pastor Don keeps telling you, and you keep going over here and doing your junk, because actually that's what we do, is we go over there and we do our junk, our sinful behavior. But I do read a lot of books to try to help me to grow and to think better. But I heard someone say a few times, heavy doses of the word will change you. And I was like, what does that mean? You know, I kept asking God, what does that mean? I don't understand. Well, I started to listen to the Bible for hours at a day. I'll say, God, help me to listen to the word for 2 to 3 hours a day. I'm just saying an amount of time that I would like. So the word was playing, and I didn't, what I've noticed in my life for the last few weeks is there's parts of the word that we don't grab onto, but because it kept going over, those four books that I kept listening to kept going over in my mind. So then when my mind would revert back to what Esther thought or how Esther lived or how Esther thinks of somebody or my sinfulness, he actually gave me a desire for what I read out of his word. So I like it because yesterday we did speak a lot about they made us say what the truth is of us, what the truth is of what God says about us. And we really, if you're not going to stick with God and if you're going to bounce around and leave and get mad and I'm going to go over here and I'm not going to listen to the pastor and I'm going to talk about him and I'm going to do, you know, then that's poo on you, because you're the one that's going to still run around in your own nastiness. You're the one that, you know, if I'm going to be here and I'm going to try to tell Beth, you know, if Beth has fallen in an area and I'm going to try to console you, but so is Donna and so is Fred and so is Joe and you know what I'm saying, and you're running around doing your own thing, then really you're not going to benefit. I mean, unless you keep coming. You got to keep coming. I don't care what you do. I remember when I used to be at the bar every weekend, but I was here on Sunday. And I'm telling you,
by
I might
herself.
Have done that. I think I did it for 5 years because I didn't know how to let go of the world and be in church. You know what I'm saying? But I did it. And I know that that's what God made me break through that nastiness. Because I kept crying out to him and saying, I don't want to be this way, but I don't know how to live this way. So I believe that, you know, where we are, where we're at, and what they pour into us, and what we do ourselves with the word, and believe it and read it and live by it, even if we don't understand it, God is so faithful to help us to walk through that time that we don't understand and we don't love ourselves because of our sin. But we need to learn how to love ourselves, because nobody, you know, I mean, God loves us, you know. I mean, God loves us, and Pastor Don's going to teach us how to love us, and Carol and Laura and our leadership is going to teach us that.
Thank you, Esther. Oh, Joe. Hang on. Come on, Joe.
Fred, could you reread what Winston Churchill said?
Uh-oh. Winston Churchill. Where are we at? All right, here we go. The president. President Winston Churchill. All right. It says, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened.
So when he read this, I thought of in James, and I looked this up, make sure I had it right. It says, do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Yeah, I've read this, and I'm like, what the heck does that mean? You know? But I think what it means is, when we read God's word, it's like looking in a mirror, and we see ourselves like we really are. But the problem is, we've all been lied to all our lives in so many areas that we don't see us like God sees us. You know, when we have problems, we do things our way. Something's going on in our life, someone hurts us, we don't do things God's way. But when we start looking at his word, we start really seeing who we are. And at first, it's really painful because we find out, man, was I an idiot, you know? But as you start doing that, you start seeing yourself as a child of God. And that's how he wants us to live. And as I read this morning, he goes on to say, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. We think God's law isn't freedom. We think it's bondage. It's actually freedom,
mm-hmm.
because it keeps us out of trouble. Perfect law that gives freedom. And so we got to look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. And that says, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So we got to learn to follow his word. And I love the way that belt, I never even thought about that, how that, the way you described it, that was excellent.
Thank you.
I think Joe made a great point there. Anybody gets up here and gives any teaching, any sermon on a Sunday, you should end it with obedience. What good is anything unless we obey the word of God, mm-hmm. right? Knowing it right and left doesn't help us. Knowing the truth doesn't help us unless mm-hmm. we obey it. Good analogy. How many people here believe that smoking is bad for you? Everybody that smokes believes that, but yet they're still smoking. So what are they doing? They're going against the truth, right? They just don't care. That's why it's most important to add obedience to everything.
You good? All right. Yeah, but like Joe just stole from me. I mean, but, you know, like Joe just said. No, but, we measure ourselves by God's word. You know, and we have to be truthful with ourselves. Just, you know, to say, you know, kind of take account of ourselves. You know, that's, you know, nobody can do it like you. You know, because you know, I mean, God knows your heart or what's in you, what's in your mind. You know, well, you do too. You know, and he will reveal that through what? The Spirit of truth. You know, that he gives us. You know, not to condemn us, but to lift us up. But we have to see where our faults are. You know, as we move along, sometimes you're going to see a ton of them. Hopefully, as we move along in Christ, won't be as many. I always looked at it like when the Israelites took over took the Holy Land, took the Promised Land. You know, it was one by one, one city by at a time they conquered. You know, and that's what we got to do. You know, and they made a mistake. They stopped. We can never stop. You know, if we love Christ, as Christ said, if you love me, you will do all these things. You know, is fear there? Yes. But, you know, can we do something because we love somebody? Do something because I love my wife, you know, because she nags me. No, but we just talked about that today. Alea just kept on saying she wanted one of them cupcakes or whatever, cookies, macaroons. And she wouldn't let up. No. So she went and pouted for a little bit. A little while later, she comes up, can I have macaroon? Just went for this. No. Went back and just kept on. I was like, man, she just won't let up. And I'm looking like, no, my wife doesn't either. You know? But then the truth come out. That's the admitted. That's what I do. Hey, the truth set you free, babe. You know? But yeah, that just kind of shows that, you know, we do have impact on our children, whether we think we do or not, you know. The apple don't fall too far from the tree, they say, you know. When Jesus came, you know, it says in John 1:14, word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory. The glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, filled with grace and truth. You know, it must have been. It's like a shock to people that, after living in the darkness all that time, that Jesus came to speak the truth. You know, it says that, you know, he tells the Pharisee that if you knew the scriptures, you would know who I am, you know, because the scripture speaks of him, you know, all through the Old Testament. And so it's, I guess, you know, people do not want to hear the truth. You know, that's why they want to put a disclaimer on the Bible or, you know, you read that, you know. More or less that we're the fools, you know, because we believe in this truth. you know. But like Bob always said, they might dog you out, but let something happen in their lives and see what they come to. You know, because there's something in us, which is the Spirit of God, you know, that they see, unless we don't act, you know, I call it act like a fool at work, because, you know, because everybody else is. Because, you know, Bob used to say that when I first come to church, and you're like, yeah, well, okay, yeah, you know, you don't know the guys I work with, you know, and I seen it happen, you know. The closer I divide, the more I divided my, not in a physical way, but in more or less in a moral and spiritual way, that I'm divided from them because I don't do the same things they do no more. I don't party. I don't, you know, don't like to get into foul talk too much, you know, and too well, you know what I mean. At all. I shouldn't get it at all, no. But, you know, because, you know, when you get a group of guys that are worldly, you don't know what's going to be said, you know. And so I'm, you know, I divide myself from that, you know. I'm there, but I'm not, but, you know, not in that conversation, or, you know, I have nothing to talk about the bar no more, or which bar is a good bar to go to, or stuff like that. You know, so slowly but surely you separate yourself. You know, but when something goes wrong, they can't go to them people. You know, even, I don't know what it is, the persona they want to keep, but they do come to you and ask you for, you know, what's the advice? I had a guy say, what's the Bible say about this, Fred? And I'm thinking, what? No, it says this. Had a guy to me come to me one time, and I shared this story. He come to me and said, I think God wants me to leave my wife. And I said, brother, I can tell you for sure, God don't want you to leave your wife. Amen. You know, and, you know, what does she do? And it was just like, you know, like every wife does, spend too much money. No, I'm just joking. No, but it was just stuff like that, you know. He was just
you noticed only half the audience hey. Laughed?
No. But it was, you know, just the stuff that wasn't, you know, he just, you know, they're just growing apart, and why spend this much money, and, you know, she argued, we're arguing. It wasn't nothing to me, really. You know, it wasn't no infidelity or nothing like that. And I said, brother, I could tell you, so, you know, God don't want you to leave your wife. God wants you to. So I gave him Pastor Don's number, Pastor Buck. You know, and he's talking to my pastor. You know, but, you know, so he actually talked to another guy he knew, and the guy told him the same thing as I did. So they're still together for all I know, you know, but I don't think the problem has mended itself, because he never took the next advice, is you need to get in a Bible-based church, you know, and you need to get yourself in the church, you know, but he didn't take that problem. So, I mean, he didn't take that advice, so is the problem still there? I would think so. The devil ain't letting up. You know, he don't like us being united in marriage. But on that, I guess I'm out of time, but like Bob said, be obedient to the truth. Right, Bob?
Yes.
All right.
You be obedient to the truth. Give him a hand.
So thank you.
That was very good. He threw out some great nuggets there, didn't he? All Amen. Right. All right. Who would you like to close?
Brian.
Excellent choice. When I think of the truth, I think of
Brian. I want to thank Brian because he... I want to thank Brian because he did fill in for me last week on morning prayer. So thanks, Brian.
You're welcome, brother. Just real quick, I want to share this. Fred, you reminded me, years ago, I was even younger than Sammy, but more handsome. A guy I worked with, he said he was going to have an affair on his wife. And I was like, don't do it. It's not worth it, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you're the only one that told me not to do it. And then he didn't end up doing it, so, you know, stood on the truth, even as a young man. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for Fred and his obedience, Lord God, Fred and Esther both, Lord. Father, just pray your blessing on the service. And, Lord, just we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.